Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk. We're smack in the middle of a great segment we call The Voice of Beer with Opus from the Thirsty Monk. We're tasting two rogue beers today. We've already tasted one, and I said on the break, Opus, how important it is to look at the color of beer, to hold up the beer in the light. One of my friends reminded me, you know, take some time describing the color of the beer. So let's just drill down a little bit into that. Why is that so important?
Well, the color actually kind of defines the style of the beer. And I mean, it's also just one of the many ways that you can experience beer. The color, the head, the foam on the glass, the way it actually, the foam reacts to the glass, which is called retention. The odor, taste, mouthfeel, the aftertaste. I mean, it's all over the place.
So I imagine in these competitions, these microbrewery competitions and others, they hold the beer up and look at the color.
They do everything. They do everything except they don't spit it out. Mm. Usually beer drinkers, I mean, you can't. You have to experience that aftertaste because and swallowing it and finishing it, that's part of beer too. So, they experience every possible aspect of it. They stick their nose in there, their noses right in the glass. And,
now, have we ever had an event like that here in Asheville?
Well, yeah, we've had several beer competitions in Asheville. The Highland Cup being probably the most prominent, and I believe the deadline for the Highland Cup is coming up. So all you homebrewers out there, finish your brewing up and get your samples over to the Highland because that competition will be coming up soon.
And folks, if you just joined us, I'm looking at a Thirsty Monk 880 The Revolution pint glass. This is very exciting. Opus printed these up for us. In just a few weeks, we're going to be announcing our Thirsty Monk 880 The Revolution pint night at the Thirsty Monk. We're going to do it twice, once at the downtown location and another time at the south location, or who knows. We just might keep on going and do it twice a month from now
sure.
to the rest of
yeah,
time.
We'll print up some more.
So the next beer you're pouring is a chocolate stout, and without holding it up to the light, I can see it's chocolate.
Oh, yeah. This is dark loveliness right here. And
it smells like chocolate.
And if I can point out, I have a different glass from you. This is the Tri-Logo glassware, and this is the very, very pink New Belgium Thirsty Monk Asheville Beer Divas glass.
Interesting.
And this,
is that an organization here?
Asheville Beer Divas is a very new organization founded in Asheville by a few female beer enthusiasts. One of them is manager at the Thirsty Monk downtown. One of them, I believe, is Julie from Brews and Ales.
Mm, yeah.
Mary Liza, who is in here the show. They founded this society of female beer drinkers and enthusiasts, and we are doing a pint night with them this Wednesday.
Wow, I'm overwhelmed how much it smells like chocolate.
Yeah. I would love this after dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
This
made me think of Valentine's Day right there, too. It's like all those heart-shaped chocolates, which are horrible. Heart-shaped box chocolates, but this is how it should taste.
So next year, folks, just tell your honey, I'd rather have a chocolate stout than any chocolate at all.
A bomber of a rogue chocolate stout.
Now, is this something that's readily available at Brews and Ales in different places and at the Thirsty Monk?
On the shelf? It's a seasonal beer, so it's only available around this time of year. But yeah, you can definitely get it now.
This is really good, Opus. It reminds me of something. I mean, beyond chocolate. What is it? Almost. Jim, what do you think of it?
Mm. No, I think it's the chocolate's there, but it's more than that. It's not just the chocolate.
There's something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is like a nice dark brown. It's a not too bitter stout, but it's just got that hint of dark cocoa bitterness to it that rounds it out really nice.
It's more in the smell, the chocolate. Rather than the actual taste.
I'm getting some chocolate donut sensation from it.
I'm getting it.
There's chocolate all over the place, Jim.
It's ubiquitous.
So if people want to know more about Charlie's activities, where's the resource? I know they printed in the paper and a couple other places.
But... Well, Wednesday is his big talk at Highland Brewery, and that's going to be from 4 to 8. He'll be at giving a talk on homebrewing and some really specific homebrew stuff.
For 4 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think there'll be some tasting going on, too. I hope. I really hope. And that is, I think it costs money for non-members, but if you're a member of, like, the local Brewers Alliance, then it's free. And that's going to take place on Wednesday, and then... I don't have his whole schedule, but he'll be around town. But check out the Highland website because that's got his visit posted there.
Now, with all this warm weather, have you been able to open up the outside in the downtown location yet?
We've got the garage doors open, and down south we've got the patio and the cornhole out. And it's been really nice. It's nice to see people enjoying the outdoors again.
People get obsessed with cornhole. You know, they start playing and they start betting.
Yeah.
Jim's looking at us like, what are you talking about? I'll explain it later, Jim. It's like a little beanbag game, kind of.
corn toss. That's what
corn toss.
I like to call it, but apparently the North Carolina term is cornhole. I looked it up.
Of course. Only in North Carolina. So tonight, do you have a beer society tonight?
Well, we're going to just be tapping the keg of Charlie 1981.
And that would just turn into its own beer society.
That's what we're hoping, yeah.
And then Wednesday night, of course, pint night at both locations. Is there anything different at each location at pint night, or do you do the same thing there?
No, we do totally different pint nights. This Wednesday downtown, we've actually got Lauren from New Belgium, a female brewer, who's going to be coming in and debuting, I think, 7 different New Belgium beers, plus the very unique Asheville Beer Diva glassware. And then down south, as far as I know, this is the first time in recorded history this has been done. We're doing a pint night with the Wedge Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. And the Wedge, as everyone knows, is one of our finest local breweries in town.
Now that you say that, I asked the question earlier, has there ever been a competition? I remember the Wedge did something, that organization, Just Economics or something, did something at the Wedge last year, like a home brewing competition.
They did a homebrew competition. Mm-hmm. They and a few other breweries got together, but I think they did the actual tasting and drinking at the Wedge. There were some... I want to say that Norm came in second. Our home brewer came in second.
There was a jalapeno beer that a lot of people
enjoyed. Lot of weird stuff there. I forget what the winner was. I thought it was I'm going to say it's a coconut porter, but I don't know. I wasn't there, so I missed it. But I'll be there next year.
So, Opus, have you received any beers lately at the Thirsty Monk that you tasted them and just said, absolutely not, we're not carrying this?
I mean,
not to badmouth anybody. I was just wondering what else people are trying out there that just doesn't work. Because we know people are trying to think outside the box.
No. We've actually, I haven't turned down any beer recently.
You accept every beer?
Not every beer, but there's nothing recently that I've tasted that I haven't turned down. In fact, Pisca just brewed up a bacon chocolate stout or a bacon stout, and we're going to have that on tap downtown. We're going to try it out. I've heard it's interesting. I've heard you can't really drink a full pint of it, but bacon stout's worth trying at least.
So, explain that to me. Do they throw cooked bacon in there? Do they put bacon grease? How does that work?
You know, sometimes they just throw essence of like smoke in it, but sometimes actually throw some really cooked bacon in there.
Just not for breakfast anymore, Jim. It's the bacon stout.
Well, you know, those stouts for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. And the Europeans love it for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
I know pubs open up like at 9 in the morning over there. Come on
that's
in.
Right. They do.
So it's happening. Well, Opus, thanks so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it. And thanks for printing the glasses. It's a great looking glass. And we look forward to having the pint night, the 880 The Revolution Thirsty Monk pint night here in a couple of weeks. And like I said, I'm looking at the calendar, trying to find the best night, staying away from the kids' spring breaks and other things like that so we can try to maximize our attendance. Because I want you to say to me, Blake, we have no more glassware left. There is so many 880 The Revolution listeners here. We have nothing left. So I want that to be the case.
We always like to run out of glassware.
All right, folks. Check the Thirsty Monk out online at monkpub.com. And don't forget, they got great food at the Thirsty Monk, the downtown lake location. And they're doing something pretty creative at the south location. Frankie Bones will be doing the food there.
Yeah,
right?
We're working with our neighbor Frankie Bones. We collaborated on a menu together, and the food has just been phenomenal.
Well, Opus, thanks so much for stopping by, and we definitely look forward to seeing you next Monday for the Voice of Beer with Opus from the Thirsty Monk. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to open up the Progressive Hotline. I know something is on your mind. Unrest everywhere. Let's talk about it here on Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution.
This is Local Edge Radio.
Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk. We just finished up with Opus from the Thirsty Monk, but I kept him here in the studio. I'm not going to let him go yet. We just had a caller call into the Progressive Hotline and ask about gluten-free beers. So if you got a moment, Opus, let's talk about gluten-free beers. Are they out there?
Oh, definitely. There are people that are allergic to beer, which is one of the saddest, really, that I can think of.
Can
saddest.
You get shots for that?
No. The only thing you can do is find an alternative thing
or drink liquor.
Yeah, but you don't really want to do that because that'll mess you up too much.
I agree with that.
Pretty much every cider that is commercially available is gluten free, so that's the one option to go to. You can go to the cider route,
okay,
and that's usually a pretty good route because a lot of places, especially in Nashville, have it on draft. So you can always, not always, but you're often to find a good cider on draft. There are two really decent gluten-free beers that stand out in my mind. One of them is Lakefront from somewhere in North America. And the other one is an English beer called Greens. And the Greens is probably the top of the line when it comes to gluten-free beer because they make all these Belgian-style beers. And you can find those at the premium bottle shops in town. Some bars do sell them, but usually you're probably going to have to resort to going to the bottle shops, the beer shops and the wine shops and finding these on the shelves.
Do they say gluten-free on the label?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're very obvious that they're gluten-free because they make them specifically for people who are allergic to the wheats and all the wonderful stuff that we put in beer.
All right, there you have it, folks. From the expert himself, Opus from the Thirsty Monk, gluten-free beers. Maybe one day you can bring in one of those. I'd love to taste a cider.
I'll be happy to bring in some greens. And I think that there are some new ones popping up as well in North America. So I'll bring in some stuff.
All right. Thanks so much, Opus, for staying an extra minute to answer that question. And maybe next Monday we'll open up the phone lines and get you to stay for an extra 10 minutes. If anybody has any beer questions, you can feel free to call in and ask the expert, Opus from the Thirsty Monk. Well, folks, at the top of the show, we went over the headlines, and we've talked about Egypt and Bahrain last week, and now everybody is focused in on Libya. The Arab League will hold an urgent summit in just a few minutes about Libya.